everybody. Welcome back. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us once again and for hitting the download button. Thanks for joining us for what I think will be the inaugural episode of The Talking Wed. I had thought for some time, privately, about adding some different shows, some new shows to our network. Had a few different ideas, one of which was one that was more marriage and relationship oriented. Oh, yeah, by the way, back up. Gretchen's here. Say hi to the people.
Hello.
Randall not with us. My original idea was that this would be a show Gretchen and I would do. I mean, maybe somewhere in the future, if we continue to do this, then if it was the appropriate type of guest or person, maybe somebody else will join us. But for right now, the core group is going to be me and her, she and I and we.
Her and me.
Her and me. Something, all of those people. That's like seven or eight people. So I had thought about this for some time, and this was just one of many ideas that I'd had. And Gretchen's initial response or level of interest in the podcasting world was a little light. Didn't seem to take to it as quickly as Randall and I have. But now that we've done it more and more and more, she's found out what the rest of us have found out. It's kind of addicting. You enjoy hearing yourself talk and enjoy talking to other people. And she approached me, a couple of days ago and said, hey, I have an idea. And it was very, very similar to my idea. And she actually wanted to sort of spearhead or lead this initial inaugural episode. I have a couple of things just for filler, some Dear Abby marriage stuff we can talk about. Something I'd like to do, although considering the response we've had, and when I say the response, we've got a lot of people that like our other page. If you don't know where our homepage is, it's theythatbelieve.com, which is where you'll find these initial episodes, and we'll probably have a new domain that will link over to that page too for this one. But in the meantime, our homepage is theythatbelieve.com, also Facebook.com/theythatbelieve. One thing we've not had over there is a lot of comments, a lot of interaction, although we've had a lot of likes and a lot of positive response, and that's okay. That's okay. I'm not necessarily courting any of that, but this would be a good place for marriage and relationship advice if we want to be bold enough to try to do something like that. And I think, I don't want to speak for anybody, but I think Gretchen would probably say that we have what we think is a good marriage. I think so. Would you say so?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So maybe that's just a good place to start. Maybe I feel a little, make myself a little vulnerable. How would you evaluate or analyze our marriage? And I think maybe what we get right and maybe what I get wrong, if you can do it kindly. let's not do that just yet. Let's be positive. Let's start with a positive spin. What do you think? Where do you think we get it right?
Well, you know, if I'm telling someone else, I always tell them that he loves me better than anybody ever has, and I learned so much from you, and that's what I can say about it. We have a 10 plus, I think.
A 10 on a scale, what? On a scale, of 1 to 10. 10.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
11.
11. These go to 11. Well, what are those ingredients then? What do you, on a day-to-day basis, what about the cliches people say? You know, oh, it's a lot of work, or it's 50-50, or it's, you know, blah, blah, blah. A lot of those cliches, which I generally kind of dismiss.
Yeah, I mean, being that, you know, we both have been married before, we knew what we didn't want. And I think that helped out a lot, you know.
Right. Not only in ourselves, mostly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I learned from my mistakes. And if people are being honest, and it's one thing I found, not just having been married, but also, you know, out in the real world and pastoring people and also going into their homes on police calls and stuff, is a lot of times people just really have a blind spot to their own contribution, to their own level of responsibility and what's going wrong.
Yeah.
It's so easy to go this and that and somebody else, and it's everybody else's fault. And sometimes it's hard to kind of be introspective and look at that guy that you shave with and recognize where he's made the mistakes. I think that's a lot of it for me. And for me, I always say it's about service. I think some of this Randall and I have probably touched on, but there's a lot of misconceptions out there and a lot of things people say in the real world, like you deserve somebody that will make you happy, and a lot of personal happiness kind of things. And like the goal is to find somebody that makes you happy. And I just say, you know, nuts to that. That's not the case. You don't, on a base level, you don't, there's no, you're not born with some sort of entitlement to happiness. For one, you can find it. You can seek it out. And I think a lot of it you make for yourself. And if you're looking for somebody that's going to make you happy, you can always find somebody that'll make you happy, at least for a period.
Yeah.
But people are people, and people will disappoint you. And there are times that I'm sure I have or will disappoint you. But you don't immediately take that as an affront to your pursuit of personal happiness and then go, well, I can't be happy anymore, so I got to go over here and find somebody to be happy over here, or I got to be happy by myself and that kind of thing. And maybe it's not for everybody. I'm not saying you can or shouldn't be single, but we need to get past this idea that I'm going to find somebody that makes me happy.
Because if that's what you're basing it on, you're going to be unhappy at some point.
You're going to be disappointed.
And if that's what, you know, whether you stay with that person or not, then you're definitely not going to be able to stay with somebody.
I say it's about service. And you should find somebody that you can serve and minister to for a lifetime. And that sounds heavy. And that doesn't necessarily sound very romantic. I understand it's not the Disney version. But it's the realistic version. And maybe that's where the work comes in. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, my goodness, if that's the standard there, you know, not a lot of people, if they took it that seriously, would not be getting married, because people are not generally in the rest of the world are not out there looking for somebody. Gee, who can I take on for the rest of my life and commit to serve their needs? That's not a very appealing idea to our selfie culture, our narcissistic social media culture. So you say, well, that would probably lead to a whole lot of people not ever getting married. Well, they probably shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I would both agree. I know that. Well, and I know this is probably true for me, having been previously married, that I should not have been. I should not have gotten married. And that's unfortunately true of a lot of people. We got a lot of marriages taking place that just should not be taking place because of the motivations, and people don't understand it. So, anyway, I don't know where this is going to go, where we're going to kind of what it. Well, it's kind of like what Randall and I did. We started kind of with an idea, and it just kind of organically morphs into its own thing, whatever it is that it's going to be. So one approach I'm kind of understanding was with this is whatever we're trying here today, it will eventually, if we continue, it will eventually become something on its own, organically. I don't know ultimately what the show may take it, like kind of a different direction, or it may turn into something else. So, but for right now, that's kind of where we're going to start. And we invite you to join us along on this journey. And if I don't know if I finished that idea through or not, but what I was going to say about people engaging us on social media, if you want to contact us, offer some, if you want marital advice or life advice or family advice, dealing with the in-laws and stuff like that. You know, people that listen to our other show have heard Randall and I pull from Dear Abby and Miss Manners. That's always a good place. If people aren't contributing to you directly, you can always find some good kind of things there. And I've got a couple of those today we can look at if we want to. So right now I'm just going to kind of open the floor to Gretchen, since she actually, even though I had quietly had this on my mind for a while, I never volunteered it, and she eagerly wanted to and kind of wanted to spearhead things today and lead the way. So I'm going to kind of give you the floor, and we can start wherever you want to start or wherever you think it's important to start.
Well, first of all, I wanted to answer the question, what I think makes a marriage work, and it's or why you want to be married to somebody. And for me, it's that, you know, I wanted to be with someone who had the same life goals as I do and who I wanted to share life with.
Right.
And that's, you know, part of it for me. But, you know, I really enjoy being with you and doing stuff with you.
Yeah, one of the things is companionship, and I mentioned in here, Randall kind of had a good chuckle. I don't think he was taking me very seriously, but and it's true. I'm not trying to be schmaltzy, but I mean, I would rather hang out with you really than anybody else. Mm. You know, and I even though I'm reaching an age where I'm not as excited about going out and leaving the house anymore, but when I know we have things to do, I generally look forward to it more. If I know you're coming home, we're going out to eat or something like that.
Yeah.
Interesting you used the word goals, because it was just a couple of days ago we were having a conversation about goals, and I commented that I don't think I really had any. No, I'm kind of doing okay.
Yourself, you know, and be, you know, a strong relationship with the Lord and those kind of things.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I still have a goal to lose some of this weight that I put on while I was laying in bed recovering from surgery.
You know what I say about that?
Not doing a very good job on that. I've had a steady diet of pink snowballs this week. they got a hold of me, and what can I say? I thought I'd been doing pretty good lately, but somebody won't quit bringing home snacky cakes in this house. So, gotta quit bringing home snacky cakes. Once I got a taste of them, I wanted more. So, all right, well, go where you'd like to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm taking from CBN. I think it's .com. Yeah, CBN.com. And it has a list of 10 biblical rules for a happy marriage.
Okay.
And I think we kind of discussed, you know, our bullet points for that. So we can go and see what they say.
Okay.
First one is never bring up mistakes of the past.
That's a tough one.
That's a biggie.
It's hard. If we're being honest, it's hard not to do.
Yeah. But I also, you know, tell myself, don't sweat this small stuff.
And I assume that I take that to mean in anger or disappointment, don't bring up someone else's mistakes. I'm assuming that's what it means. Because we often talk about our own mistakes. I mean, we already have in just a few minutes. So.
Specifically those of your spouse.
Right.
And it's neat because it gives biblical references. This is from Luke 6:37. Stop criticizing others or it'll come back on you.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is neglect the whole world rather than each other. And of course, we were just talking about that's what we do.
something you should do.
Should.
Neglect the whole world and not each other. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Rather,
how do they articulate that?
Well, it's the biblical reference is Mark 8:36. And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul in the process?
Okay.
So it's just protecting the marriage and turning to each other, you know, instead of like me turning to my friends, I turn to you.
Oh yeah, definitely. One thing I kind of have, I say it's a peeve, and I don't mean it's a peeve in that Gretchen does it and it bothers me, but one thing that I feel very strongly about is not discussing your problems and your business with other people. Now, of course, I'm not talking about something serious, you know, mm-hmm. if there's crime going on in your home, or if you're in something abusive, if it's a life or death kind of thing, or a safety issue, but more just a day in, day out kind of difficulty thing, or if your spouse does something that bugs you or makes you mad or whatever, you shouldn't be out talking about that with, you know, your mother or your hairdresser, or I think that's a big one that people miss. I think we gossip. Our dogs need to shut up. I think that's a big one that people miss. And I think it's real easy. Just like we gossip about other people anyway. Mm. I think it's too easy to throw our spouses under the proverbial bus like that. And, oh, yeah, mine does that too. Oh, boy, I hate it when blah, 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 blah. You know, now sometimes I'll kind of have a good chuckle, or I may make a joke. But I usually do it when it's clear that it's a joke, or around people that know us. I think that kind of already know the relationship we have, because I don't have people that I don't really let people talk bad about their spouses around me.
Mm.
So I think they kind of understand that I operate on that principle too. But don't you think though, maybe are there not times, I don't want to overthink this, aren't there times when you sort of have to, I don't know what the word is, you have to sort of compromise your own wants and desires, even about your relationship, you know, because of reality in the real world. I mean, it would be nice if I worked a very cushy, safe office job that brought me home, you know, at the same hours every day and like you, but mm-hmm. you have a difficult place in life, like a lot of others, where, you know, you're married to one of those people that you have to send out at night into mm-hmm. what could potentially be something dangerous, and you know, you sacrifice in your own way. So I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking it, but aren't there times when you sort of have to make decisions that, even though it looks like a compromise to what you want or what you desire, what your goal is in your relationship, because you have to do what is overall best, or mm-hmm. or to make room for the rest of the world? I don't know. Maybe I don't want to poop all over that point, but
You mean like a submission or a decision that you've come up with?
I don't know. It just seems like sometimes, I mean, it'd be easy if we could just sit within a bubble and didn't have other stressors. Mm. You know, how many marriages would be easier if bills didn't have to get paid, right? Or if nobody ever had children to cause problems, you know. They would be easy, but that doesn't necessarily mean it would be better. And sometimes you have to make those sacrifices or compromises, mm-hmm. or whatever. So I don't know. Again, maybe I'm overthinking it. I guess we get the general idea, which is don't let the stressors or influence or desires of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All
right. Yeah. Especially influence how you treat each other.
Well, yeah, 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 yeah.
Never go to sleep with an argument unsettled. Now, that's one thing about you and me. We don't have a lot to argue about.
No, and I think most people will tell you that's true of me generally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't engage in a whole... I'm not necessarily a conflict avoider. I know that's a thing some people are. Maybe I am. I don't know. But I'm willing to carry a lot of things before I get down into an argument, maybe because I think people, when they're too self-seeking, it makes you argue too easily. You too quickly jump on things and want to have a resolution and, you know, conflict and all this kind of stuff. And I think that's a little overstated. And I've always heard that one about don't go to bed angry. And I don't know. I don't know that I'm 100% sold into that one, but I'm willing to entertain a different opinion.
Well, I think the idea is that you don't let things linger on, that you don't carry something that needs to be talked about until it just makes you so angry that you take more serious action.
If it needs to be. But there's a lot of little things we can let go too that people don't. It's two sides of the same coin. Don't hang on to something that's really eating away at you, which I'm guilty of too. But at the same time, not every little thing or every inconvenience or gripe or grievance deserves. Sometimes you just got to carry something for a little while.
Yeah.
And let it settle.
Yeah.
You know, because the conflict or the resolution will become bigger than the conflict.
Mm-hmm.
It'll turn into something else. So.
Yeah. Because, you know, some of the reasons people even get divorced is just ridiculous. You know, something that they've made them so angry, and they just decided not to work it out or talk about it.
It becomes an affront to their personal happiness. It's that seeking of, I'm going to find what makes me happy, you know, and you got to be a grown up and be willing to have an unhappy day from time to time.
Uh-huh.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. Not every day is going to be wine and roses. All right.
Mm-hmm, yeah. At least once a day, try to say something complimentary to your spouse. Okay. Now that makes me want to talk about this book I read called The Five Love Languages. I talk about it all.
Very popular book. You've talked about it ever since I've known you. And to be honest, that was still not the first place I heard it. That's a very popular book. Anyway, I kind of stepped on it. Go ahead and tell people again what it is.
The reason I bring it up, because in the book it talks about that some people will either adopt one of these languages as that's the way they feel they are loved.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't remember all of them. I always fumble on them. But complimenting is one of them. So some people require compliments. They don't feel loved if they don't get compliments.
Mm-hmm.
And then they feel like, you know, if their spouse hasn't complimented them in a while, they're mad at them. They don't love them. You know, something's going on.
All right.
It's different. There's love languages, different love languages for different people. And, you know, affection is mine.
Mm-hmm.
Other people have like, I'd have to look it up. But anyway, there's different ones, but gift giving is one, and I've been under the assumption that that's yours,
because
you're really good at that and you really enjoy doing that.
Okay,
but anyway, so this isn't necessarily so for everyone, because giving a compliment to your spouse, some people don't need it
right,
all the time.
Right.
You know, it is nice to do, but be sincere.
For me, it's, and it gets into some insecurity, and I think I can be honest about that. and I don't know enough about the book, having read through it. I don't know that you're off base on your gift giving, or maybe it's like what you call the Zodiac scale or whatever. Maybe some people can have a little bit of different things, but I almost would think I fall into that complimenting type of thing, but I don't know that I would call it that. I would think more affirmation. I don't always need to be complimented, just affirmed to know that, you know, whatever you're doing is not unnoticed, or that it's appreciated. Maybe that's the way to put it, you know. And maybe that's true of everybody. Well, some people don't need it. I guess if you're more secure and you don't have little insecurities that I think I do have, probably comes from my perfectionist nature, you know, and when I know that everything is done or complete or accomplished, you like that sense to be felt among other people, or to know that, oh, okay, you know, we got that done. I acknowledge that, or I appreciate that, or whatever. You know, it doesn't always have to be a compliment. Is that what that means? Is it like that people need to receive compliments, or you say that their language is in giving compliments?
Both.
Okay.
Because they give love by giving compliments, and they get love by getting compliments. Okay, I looked it up. Here it is. Quality time is one of them. Physical touch or affection. Let's see.
Does quality time exist as its own? Is that a language? A love language?
Okay. Yes.
See, I would think I'm in that one. I would think quality
time. Okay.
Yeah. Because I often don't feel like I get enough of your time.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, I'm not angry about it. It's not like
like when I'm on the phone.
Well, that's a problem. But I mean, it's not like feeling neglected. It's more just like, okay, when we have a window of time to do something or to be together, that let's do that and not off with little distractions. So I don't know. I guess if you go through them all, I could probably find anybody could find themselves a little bit in all of them. Go ahead.
I do. Words of affirmation.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Acts of service. That's all five, right?
I guess. See, I almost feel like just in the 20 minutes or so we've been talking, I kind of touched on all of those. Service for sure. Service is a big one. So, and maybe I don't know what the author of the book, the authority would say, but maybe over time, you know, those things change too, or shift a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe where you were this one, maybe you're more this one. And I think in maturity, I would more assign myself into the service category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because to me, I think that's really close to gift giving too, you know, because it
seems that way, sort of.
Just the giving aspect.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready to move on?
Yeah. These are the 10 principles?
The 10 biblical rules for happy marriage.
Biblical principles of a good marriage. Okay.
Never meet without an affectionate welcome. Which I can't help myself. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
That's an easy one. And that covers a lot of bases. A lot of those. One, it's affirming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type of thing I'm talking about, is like, you know, a morning kiss goodbye or an evening hug when I get home. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, here's the list of things I've prepared that I'm grateful that you do, you know, that you pay this bill and that you go to work and, you know, this is more what I'm talking about. Just a smile and a hug that lets me know, hey, I'm engaged. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for what you do. That's what that says to me, too. And that's also probably good to quell a lot of, if you're carrying something that's bugging you, you know, it can keep those things at bay, I think. And sometimes it's difficult to do if you're aggravated about something, but you should do it anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people, you know, won't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it right now because I'm angry about something or something's bothering me. But you should do it anyway for that reason, I think, because it'll make you feel better. It really will, ultimately, or it'll at least put a Band-Aid on it, I think. Anyway,
sometimes it'll just make it go away completely, because when you think you're so mad about something and then you show affection, then it goes away.
But one thing that is true, even if that's not true, one thing that is true is if you neglect it for the specific reason that you're angry or upset about something, you'll feel worse about whatever it is you feel worse about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By staying in it. Right.
Yeah. Because so. I mean, like, shooing them away instead of giving them a hug is just pushing the issue down. You know, it's like right. making it worse. And it's like, if you just let it go, it probably isn't as big a deal.
It's like, it's like when people say they're depressed or something and they want to lay in bed and stare at the ceiling. You know, mm-hmm. we all understand that feeling, but the thing is, laying in bed and staring at the ceiling is making it worse. You're entertaining it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you'd get up and put on your Walkman. That's a dated reference, but put on your earbuds and you know, go for a walk and listen to some music you like or something, you'd feel better. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to do when you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
So,
and not to say anything against people that truly have, you know, a clinical depression, but to me, you're as happy as you let yourself feel.
Right. And we've all been in that place, is what I'm saying. It's difficult. What I'm saying is easier to say than it is to do. But just like if you're angry at your spouse about something and you don't necessarily want to give them a hug or look at them or talk to them, or if you're laying in bed and you're feeling depressed, so you just want to lay in bed and stare at the ceiling, that's the easy thing to do. And we all recognize that feeling. It's what you want to do.
Yeah.
And maybe it gets into that fight or flight. I feel threatened, so I'm going to, you know, lay here and protect myself. When the reality is, if you want to be better, more healthy, and adopt a little self-mastery, I think. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting a little more understanding of this as I get older, where I don't entertain those things as much as I did when I was a narcissistic kid. get up. Mm-hmm. You know, force yourself. I know you don't feel like it, and I know it. You know, I'm not saying that what people feel is not legitimate. The hard thing to do is to get up, put your earbuds in, go for a walk. Even though you will feel like me, like sitting here complaining about losing this weight. I mean, there's no magic bullet here. I mean, it can be done. I'm just not, so far, I'm not willing to take the steps to do it. Same thing. If you're angry or carrying something and you don't feel like doing it, I think what we're saying is force yourself to do it. I mean, I don't mean that sound ugly, but there are times when you should. That's part of serving as well, too. You know, you don't always want to do things because they don't make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Although this will, I would suggest.
Because we hate the effort. We hate the effort. We hate the work, but the outcome is well worth it.
It's not what we want to do. I just want to stay here and, you know, feed my grudge like a little pet or something, or I want to lay in bed because I feel bad or whatever. And you just need to get a little self-mastery and get up and do it.
Yep.
Says Fat Boy. Yeah, is he really lecturing us about self-mastery? Okay. All right.
Okay. So the next one, I love this. For richer or poorer, rejoice in every moment that God has given you together.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one. What are the I'm trying to remember what they are, the three big reasons that people divorce or separate: money, children. I don't remember what the third one is.
The bedroom.
I mean, that could be true, but I don't think that's what I've always heard.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, money is number one, and I think will always be number one. Money stressors destroy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
They will.
Yeah.
They just absolutely destroy relationships. And unfortunately, and sometimes you don't know this until the money's gone, but, you know, that'll push some people out the door a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll just love you to death. And then all of a sudden the money's gone. It's like, oh, I need to go pursue my personal happiness.
Yes. Once again, things we've learned from our past.
and it bears mentioning here, too. You know, keep in mind for folks that are considering marrying or thinking about it, I'm not real big into credit. I wasn't raised that way. You know, in my home, we lived modestly, but we owned everything we had. You know, we didn't have a lot of credit. My old man was real down on credit, or owing, having a lot of debt, I guess is a better way to put it. It's oddly enough, he felt having good credit was important. And I think it is, especially if you need to go to buy a home or something like that, but not debt. You know, credit means you have good standing with people who would loan you money. Debt means you have bad standing with people who've already owned you money. So, where I was going with all that is, if you have bad credit, you're going to marry that bad credit to whoever you marry. If you have good credit, you're going to marry that good credit. Now, it will impact yours negatively, just like your good credit will impact theirs positively. And debts accumulated, your debts become my debts. that kind of thing. So keep that in mind. It's a good reason to, you know, people don't, if you're single and you're out there doing your own thing, you're probably not thinking about money management. But I mean, if you want to get married to somebody someday, if that is on your list of life goals, you should be thinking about that and, you know, not be a financial wreck. And a lot of people, how do you have that conversation too? A lot of people don't want to talk about it. I was just reading a Dear Abby, I'm not going to share it now, but about a guy leaving his wife and is with, not even divorced to her, engaged to be married to somebody else, supposedly, and the new girlfriend or the new fiance doesn't even know that he's currently married and doesn't know that he's deeply, deeply, deeply in debt. You know, so basically she's about to get sold a really bad bill of goods and doesn't know it. So maybe, I don't know, how do you do that? How do you have that conversation? I mean, if you're to the point of getting married to somebody, you should be talking about those
things. You should
things.
Be talking about everything. Like, everything.
And
even
because
some people,
it's not romantic.
Some people say that some stuff is too soon to talk about, but if you're thinking about marrying somebody, you need to know everything. Like, everything.
They ought to put your credit score on these dating websites. That ought to be, you know,
it's uncomfortable, but you have to talk about it.
Oh, the match.com or whatever, that ought to be, they ought to run a credit check on you, and your credit score ought to be underneath your picture. How about that, right? Anyway, maybe that would save us from a lot of failed marriages. How do we get off on that? We're talking about money. You said richer for poor, so.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
It was really about every moment you share together.
Yeah, money will definitely reveal problems that you didn't think were there. You may think you have a wonderful relationship and not have any problems until the money is gone, and there you go.
I want to read the biblical reference, Proverbs 15:17, a bowl of soup with someone you love is better than steak with someone you hate.
That's true.
Yep. All right, moving on to the next one. If you have a choice between making yourself or your mate look good, choose your mate.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, I'm going to go ahead and go to the...
I do that regularly. I know I do. I talk about you all the time. And it's easy to do because people know you and they really love you. Mm-hmm. So... lest I sound like I'm being completely selfless, in a certain sort of way, I gain a personal satisfaction from it. I feel like it makes my stock go up. So maybe, again, here I am being introspective. Am I doing it out of completely selfless reasons? But no, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, too, about not being critical, being critical publicly.
Right.
Of your spouse. That's what I do. And I found myself in a situation like that recently. I was standing around a group of friends and coworkers, and a couple of them were kind of going on and being critical about their spouses and kind of down on marriage and telling this other guy not to get married. And I was like, don't listen to them, man. That's, you know, now this guy is real young. He should not be thinking about getting married now. But, you know, I'm like, marriage is a great thing. You know, I was kind of the dissenting voice and all that. And there was a young lady sort of among us who was listening, who was ready to stand on her chair and applaud me, you know. And I think it's good, but in a way it's sad that... To find a refreshing voice out there that's positive when so many people are negative about marriage. And these are good men, and had they have good spouses, and they weren't being especially cruel or anything, but just to kind of go back, a lot of it was joking, but just to kind of go back, you know, I'm like, well, you're talking to a 20-something-year-old guy who's really got his act together. I mean, this guy's a hard worker. He saves every penny that he makes. He doesn't spend a dime. His boss was making fun of him. He's like, yeah, I can't get him to spend money on anything. Mm-hmm. He thinks big. You know, he's got everything together. I've never seen anybody this well motivated and put together at that age.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, but don't put the guy down on marriage. But he's smart enough. He'll figure it out. So, but don't. What were we talking about? But take opportunities to say things publicly that are flattering. Mm-hmm. About your spouse. Yeah. I'm definitely, definitely down with that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's the, there's a virtuous woman verse in the Bible. And I think about that all the time, where everything that comes out of your mouth. You know, people kind of judge you for who you are by what comes out of your mouth. And, you know, a lot of times I've said, you know, if you're going to put your husband down in public, people know that you're, that they're not safe.
I still remember, I don't know if you do or not, when we were, before we were in ministry or appointed somewhere else, when we were members at another church in our Sunday school class, one of our friends and a church member shared a story about being in Walmart or somewhere and overheard a woman talking to a friend about how glad she was to get a break to go to Walmart to get away from her stupid husband and her idiot kids.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
I have never forgotten that. It just broke my heart. Not only did she say that to an acquaintance, you know, but people overheard that. And I'm like, there you go, right there.
You know, why?
If she would just change some things about the way she's thinking and the way you speak, again, the way you speak, what you put out there can become truth.
Yeah.
And it becomes a character thing, a reputation thing. You know, I hope people, and I think they do, they know this about me, that, you know, I'm not going to do that. And when you do that, at least for me, I don't sit there and go, wow, that sounds like you got a really awful wife or home life. To me, it reflects on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, I don't like this.
Yeah.
I don't, you shouldn't be doing that. It becomes a character issue for me looking at you. That's just me.
It makes me wonder why those people stay in such a miserable marriage if it's so miserable.
Well, it's not always misery, you know, that I'm hearing. You know, people, it's joking and being critical and, you know, yeah, my wife, she blah, 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 won't do this, won't do that. And it doesn't, it's like, man, all right. Don't do that. Don't be that guy. Don't be that woman in Walmart. Letting people hear you talk about your stupid husband and your idiot kids.
You know, I had somebody say to me one time, it was a couple that I knew, and they were like, yeah, well, now's the time that we should be having our first fight. What? Is there a book out there that says that at this point you have to have a particular fight?
Yeah.
At this point you have to have kids? At this point you have to... No, you just have to play it every day by ear and react that way. Instead of planning, why would you plan for an argument?
Because it's what they've been told. That's what they've been told. That's all that, you know, homegrown wisdom out there about, you know, just like people want to tell you, you know, about kids, how to raise your kids, what to take when you're sick, all these home remedies. And you can expect that, you know, the first year is the hardest. It's kind of like all that stuff we talked about at the beginning, too. All those old cliches about it's 50-50 and marriage is a lot of work and the first year is the hardest and blah, 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 blah. And I don't know. You're right. Sometimes
why would anybody want to discourage someone else like that?
Yeah, right.
It's discouragement.
Right.
You're supposed to be encouraging and building people up.
Right. More if you're instead of discouraging somebody from getting married. I mean, there are times to do that. There are places, but not just because you have a negative opinion about it or because you're down on it. Right.
I don't even think that. I don't even think there are times to discourage someone from something. That's their lesson to learn, if there's going to be a lesson.
Okay.
Some people have gone into situations that seemed hopeless, and it became the best situation of their life. You know, I don't agree with that. You know, they have to make their own decisions.
But if you,
'cause you never know how it's going to end.
But if you know that somebody has a really low credit score... I don't know. Or has,
I don't even
has
know.
Warrants.
Well, there you go.
You know, there are times when you may go, hey, you may need to think about this just a little more before we commit. You know, sometimes the rest of us can't see it, but not as a general rule, not just because you personally are down on the institution or whatever.
Right.
All right.
Okay. The next one. If you have a choice. Oh, no. Sorry. That was the one we just did. Okay, this one is so funny, but it's probably the number one for me. If they're breathing, your mate will eventually offend you. Learn to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Learn to forgive. Yeah. And again, can be tough to do.
Oh, yeah.
That gets into that part about sometimes you need to carry something. Not everything is worthy of... You know, well, we need to have a talk about it. Not always. Sometimes you just need to carry something and be forgiving. And patient is a word that I would use. Patient. We're not always patient with each other. But I'm learning that is becoming an overlooked but so important character trait. Patience.
And here's what I like. You know, sometimes to define the word helps a lot. Forgive means to cease to feel resentment against an offender. So that means, you know, you're losing your feelings. You don't necessarily, and as a good person, forgetting it as well, especially whether or not the person feels sorry about it, you have to let it go.
Right.
Because it will control your life. And again, will control your relationship. And some people break up over the silliest things because they held on to them. They didn't forgive.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Carry something if you can and adopt a patient and forgiving spirit.
Yes.
But be discerning about when you need to work through something, when you don't. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Don't use faith, the Bible, or God as a hammer.
Yeah. Yeah. I see the point there. Right, right. You're adopting the moral high ground by trying to support yourself with what you should be doing is using it like a mirror and looking at yourself.
Right.
Where am I failing? But you're right. We use that. We want to use our biblical foundation as a weapon. And you know, well, you're not doing this, and it says you're supposed to do this, and you know. Well, what about you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do that a lot. We want to point at somebody else, and well, you. I like the biblical reference, John 3:17. It says God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. And a lot of people forget that. Mm-hmm. They think that he's just, you know, somebody that gives you rules of do's and don'ts.
Right. Well, it's a lot of people who struggle with the ideas of faith or with God have that idea that's out there we've created as a culture, then you know, he's sitting up there with his cosmic hammer waiting for you to mess up so that he can squash you.
Mm-hmm.
And we want that so badly for other people, right? We want forgiveness and grace for ourselves and judgment for other people.
Yeah.
Often. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if we just love like he does, then we would have a very good marriage. Because the commitment part for me is the most important part of our relationship.
What do you mean by that?
the commitment to each other.
Mm-hmm.
That we are committed to be there for each other and show each other how to love and by our examples, you know.
Sure.
your example especially. I really try to emulate, but God's as well, Jesus as well, the way Jesus loved.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a prayer I use a lot, and it's good in all applications, which is asking Jesus for his eyes. Let me see things the way you see things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That has opened a lot of doors for me, and it will reveal a lot about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you get cloudy in your vision, or you get confused, or you're angry about something, and you know you're trying to see it through your own dirty lenses.
Yeah.
And that's a good prayer. I just throw that out there. And it's good. It's good for all applications. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the next one is, let your love be your guidepost. And of course, it's one of my favorites, 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. And love is patient and kind. Mm-hmm. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged.
Let your love be your guidepost.
Yes.
That sounds a little corny. Anyway, yeah, they were doing pretty good up to there. They got a little cheese ball on us. Little cheese ball, little Cornish.
All right.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it for the top 10.
All right. Biblical principles.
For biblical rules.
Rules for marriage.
Yeah.
All right. Are we going to have to open that door and let them in so they'll shut up? Come on, knuckleheads. You're ruining our new show.
Okay. Oh, you know what? Can we pause?
Yeah.
I forgot dinner's in there. That's probably what they're barking about.
Time out for a brief dinner break.
Let's go.
All right. And we're back. And we're back. Beaver in the Nuge. 101.7. What's in the oven for dinner? Smells like
shells.
It's like, okay. Smells like lasagna or spaghetti or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can smell. I guess garlic.
I have.
Garlic. That's good. I was just starting to get hungry, too. Good. We can start to kind of wrap this up. You got something else?
I have. Are we on right now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I have two different things. I had a newlywed game, or kids say the darndest things about marriage.
Hold on to those.
Okay.
Because that'll give us some stuff to talk about when we come back. Because I don't want to get too deep into something right now and run too long, especially because I'm starting to get hungry. The dinner's starting to smell good. How about this? This is a go-to Randall and I use a lot for Dear Abby.
Okay.
I thought you'd appreciate this, talking about in the context of everything that you've already mentioned. Let's see if we can apply those principles here. So this is, does the letter writer have a name? Hurting Eyes in Florida. Hurting Eyes in Florida is the name of this writer. The pen name. After my future son-in-law moved in with our daughter, we got a problem already there. Our future son-in-law moved in with our daughter. My husband and I stopped by unannounced. We got another problem there. I shouldn't be giving my analysis too early. We stopped by unannounced to visit. He answered the door in his underwear.
Gosh.
And he never bothered to go put on a pair of shorts. We didn't say anything. Of course, we didn't stay long. It was close to Christmas, so we bought him a robe. My husband jokingly told him, "We figured you didn't have one since you stay in your underwear when we're here." Uh-huh. Even after that, he still does it. So he didn't take the hint or the suggestion. I finally told my daughter, since he can't take a hint, please tell him to put his clothes on when I'm coming over. Since then, when we've stopped by dropping off the grandbabies, he still doesn't put shorts on. So do they have children together? We got a lot of problems going on here. Happened again today. I asked him to please throw on some shorts, and his response was, "You're killing me in my own house." But he did do it. They rely on us to help with our granddaughters, but I'm fed up with having to see him in his underwear. I also don't think he should go around that way around his 6-year-old stepdaughter and his 2-month-old daughter. What are your thoughts on this? So there's a few peripheral things I'd point out. For one, yes, it's not appropriate around a 6-year-old girl. 2-month-old probably couldn't care less. I'm a little troubled that, well, I shouldn't be. I guess they're finally getting around to getting married, but that they're cohabitating. They've already got a 2-month-old. It's kind of like, eh. I mean, maybe they're starting to get things right, but just for sake of conversation, that's not the way to do things. Don't be cohabitating and having kids with somebody outside the benefit of marriage. And that probably tells you what he thinks about her, too. I mean, if we're just being honest.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't. He obviously, if he's willing to live with her and father kids by her and, you know, is just now getting around to. What kind of person is that? That's the kind of person that walks around in their underwear. So. Now let's flip the script over here. My husband and I stopped by unannounced to visit. That's a simple sentence, but it sounds like there's a lot more there.
Mm-hmm.
How often, you know, should your parents just stop by unannounced to visit? I don't like that either. Don't come unannounced anyway, period. And it makes me suspicious that the in-laws, both mom and dad, are coming by just unannounced. He should get up and put some shorts on, but they tried the robe thing. And what was the other? There was another part of it that they did say they're dropping off their grandbaby, so apparently they're dumping the kids off the grandparents a lot. That sounded the way it did. People do that a lot. So mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? About walking around the house in your underwear or parents coming around unannounced?
Well, you know, being from the kind of family that I'm from, that isn't a big deal. You know, we just all just
walking around.
I'm
in your
here.
Underwear?
No, not walking around. Unannounced, showing up unannounced.
Oh, okay. Y'all didn't all grow up walking around the house in your underwear.
No.
Some people have different levels of comfort with that. I understand that, but they probably shouldn't. I'm not down with that. So
yeah.
Well, here's what Abby says, and then there's the readers who left comments under. This is what's cool about, as opposed to, you know, like when you used to have to read Dear Abby in the newspaper column. Now you can read them online, and there are like real time comments underneath, which are awesome. People, that's worth the price of admission alone. I mean, who cares what Abby says? I want to hear what all these other people say.
Yes.
So Abby says this: because you're doing your daughter and her husband the favor of looking after the grandkids, and you have let them know that you prefer not seeing your son-in-law in his undies, your wishes should be respected. Okay. However, different families have different standards regarding attire around the house, and you should not judge him for what he chooses to wear in the privacy of his home when you're not around. Yeah, that's all cool, except it doesn't quite address the fact that when they show up, throw something on. So there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's a little lacking. Now, here's what some astute readers have suggested. The son-in-law probably takes off his clothes when he sees a car pulling up.
Okay.
Some have suggested that perhaps he's doing it intentionally because he knows that it bugs them. So it's at the heart.
To keep them from coming.
It could be.
He doesn't like that they're coming.
Now it's become a game, another writer says. this reader says, I think you're probably right, since he actually answered the door in his skivvies. I'm guessing he saw who it was and dropped his drawers.
Okay.
However, when the Jehovah's Witness would come to our door, my brother would immediately dress down to his undies, get a drink in his hand at 10 a.m., and then light a cigarette and answer the door. That got rid of them quick. So apparently this is a thing. All right. What are you going to say?
I was going to say, let me tell you who the victim is in this whole thing. Let me tell you who this is stressing out the most.
Yeah.
Daughter. Because she's stuck between husband and parents.
You know, what's interesting, I just closed the window. They didn't really say much about her in that, did they?
No.
About what her reaction is. It was all just...
I can tell you she's stressing out.
Probably.
Because the parents are coming unannounced, that's a thing they do. And then husband's freaking out about it, and she's like, oh my gosh, I can't make either one of them happy. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what I would probably do in that situation. I'd be like, Mom, I'm just bringing the kids to you, okay? We'll just eliminate
going to get them or...
Yeah, whatever it is.
In this instance, they were dropping them off. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Going to get them or
drop them off and pick them up at your house.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I didn't think about that, and I don't remember now reading any of the comments. Any of the readers mentioned. Seemed the daughter's kind of a forgotten.
Absolutely.
Variable.
And in situations like that, she is.
Yeah. Because it doesn't expressly say it in there, but I mean, would you not get the impression that they're probably not real big on their future son-in-law? Don't you get that sense that...
But he's doing it, he's doing that part of it to make them not fans.
Saying it's not, there's some back and forth going on here, but what I'm suggesting is that they don't like him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's probably mutual, and he don't like them. Now they're maybe aggravating each other, but you need a lot more information. Who knows what kind of people they are? Maybe he deserves it. You know, I don't know, but you're killing me in my own house. I'm wearing my underwear. So, yeah.
I don't think they don't need to have any opinions of when he does that and whether it's in front of his child. That's their business.
I don't think though a grown man shouldn't be walking around in his underwear, especially around a six-year-old little girl.
I don't know.
I mean, if they're young, babies don't care if they're young enough, I guess. But,
yeah.
You know, six... that's what, first grade age?
Yeah.
And you want her going to school going, stepdaddy walks around in his underwear, you know?
Okay, I missed that part. These aren't his kids.
One is not.
Oh, the oldest isn't. Okay.
They have she has a six-year-old.
Okay.
Who's his stepdaughter, or will be, and a two-month-old.
Then absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
If it were his kid, that'd be different.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Just because, you know, he would be in a position, you know, if she got curious, he's the one that's supposed to answer those questions.
But they shouldn't getting curious because you're walking around naked, though.
But he's not naked.
They shouldn't be getting curious because you're walking around in your underwear, though.
Well, all kids do.
They get curious, but that should not be why.
Sometimes they just, you know, are oblivious to it. But then, you know, some kids start out, hey, daddy. And then when that starts happening, then, yeah, you don't need to be, you know, walking like that around your kid. Right. But
I mean, curiosity comes on its own, but they should not be curious because they see adults walking around half dressed, though. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not doing a good job explaining that, but apparently it makes a difference if it's your stepdaughter versus your daughter. I don't know.
Oh, definitely.
So, So if it's just the parents, an issue with the parents, I mean, do you think is that funny and something to kind of laugh off that he does that intentionally, or is that a flag to go, either way? Well, I think where we're landing and where you started was that they're going to have to figure something else out, the daughter's going to have a difficult time.
It probably would have been funny the one if he did it one time, but that he keeps doing it.
Well, now
he's trying.
Right. Well, they certainly would have overlooked it. Opposition. I mean, I don't. They wouldn't have. One time would not have prompted a letter to Dear Abby, for sure.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But now that it continues, they tried to buy him a robe. And, you know, and we all know people like this. I'm not like this, but some people just like don't want clothes on.
Yeah.
You know, they go barefoot everywhere. They're always in their underwear. They would never wear a robe. Yeah. And I'm not like that. I at least got to have shorts on, a pair of socks.
Maybe
I never
go
barefoot.
He's completely oblivious to the fact that it's offensive.
I don't think so.
If he's in like boxer shorts and he's like, I got boxer shorts on. You
That's
know.
Another thing, too, they didn't specify. And that was one of the first questions I had. Now, what are we talking about?
Right.
You know, tidy whities, you know, yeah. Plum smugglers. Or are we talking about, you know, boxers?
Yeah.
So, 'cause there is a little bit of a difference. A little bit. In appearance. Now, it's still a little presumptuous, so. All right. These guys are just not going. You're messing up my show. Well, we're about done anyway. They want some dinner, and I think I do, too. So, well, all right. Well, I think we're off to a good start. And what I think we'll do is maybe try to, if we can, Randall and I have a difficult time keeping a schedule just because of life and reasons. So what we'll try to do, though, he and I are sort of on a biweekly schedule. Is that correct to say biweekly when you do it every 2 weeks?
Yes.
That doesn't mean twice a week. I never get that right. So hopefully we can fill in with this show in between the weeks that he and I are off, and then maybe we get some regular content going like every week or so often or whatever we do. And then we'll have crossovers, of course, when we have Christmas show coming up and stuff like that. So just stay tuned, and I'll keep some updates on how we redirect traffic for the domain if I do that or anything like that. But for right now, again, if you haven't yet, you can find us at theythatbelieve.com or facebook.com/theythatbelieve, which I assume you already know. It's probably, or you wouldn't be listening anyway. And we'll get some of the other stuff sorted out in the meantime, and hopefully just push this thing onward a little more. And maybe in the near future, if we can flesh out some more ideas, I'll add some other shows. But kudos to Gretchen for finally coming around and making it happen, even though, well, I mean, I'd been thinking about it forever, but I never did anything with it. So it just takes a spark. So, okay. Well, that's Gretchen. I'm Pastor Dave. And until we talk to you next time, keep talking wed. Bye.